Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Visibility requires two lights to merge. If there is one light and it's not merged with the other, then there is no visibility. So two lights need to merge, and the merging of the two lights creates visibility. One is the light of the eye. The eye also gives off a light. So you will see a cat, and an animal that belongs to a cat family. They do the hunting at night, etc. See them at night, and there's a light coming out. Clear, distinct, you'll find a light coming out. So one is the light of the eye, and just the light of the eye is insufficient. أو كظلمات في بحر اللجين يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها. Imagine in the depth of an ocean, right in the depths, right underneath, and over the surface of the sea is a wave, and over the wave is another wave, and over that, that's topped up with a cloud, and you're right underneath. Is there any visibility? Eyes are there, but can you see anything? Can't see anything. So the Quran Sharif describes this picture. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَهَا. You can't see your own hand. There's absolutely no light, so there's no visibility. There is one light, but that one light doesn't make visibility. So this is the first light. Then the other light is the external light, either the light of the sun, electricity, fire, some light you require. So when these two lights merge, the inner light and the external light, when they merge, the merging of these two lights creates visibility. Now you can see things in perspective. And when there is that visibility, then you can value things. No visibility, how you want to value things? You may think it's a rock, it turns out to be a diamond. You don't know, you can't see. So that visibility creates the merging creates the visibility, and the visibility creates the value. Without that, you don't know the value. You won't see in a tile shop, right? The whole variety of tiles. Sometimes you'll find that it's ranging, starting off at about 10 rands a tile, and ending up, someone told me one tile cost about 2,000-3,000 rands. But the size are the same. So what was it? The shape, the beauty, the design. And all that design is raised to the eye. The eye perceives all that design. Right? And then when it perceives the design, it likes it and it purchases it. So it's raised to the eye. It is because of that visibility that you attach that type of value to that woman that you're going to get married to. You saw something. One friend of mine went for a proposal. So he came back. Initially, before he could go for the proposal, he was quite reluctant. So that he said, no, just go. It's just a proposal. You are allowed to look once. Don't prolong the thing now. Just go and see your work and come back. So after he came along, now I'm convinced. So I asked him very so quickly, and what convinced you of the girl? He said, all her turkeys. I asked him of all things, but the turkeys you could find in the shop also then. So no, that anyway, it affected him. So the eye, it sees something, and when it sees something, then it attaches a value. Right. Without seeing it, doesn't know what it's taking, so it doesn't want to attach any value until it's seen the thing. So like the external, you get an inner eye, right? Eye of the heart. So the eye of the heart will pick up and perceive spiritual things. This will pick up and perceive things that are zahir, external, things that are tangible, things that are visible, things that are perceivable, right? But you know, mankind is not just an external thing. He's got an external dimension and he's got an internal dimension. There's another dimension in him, right? So for the man to be complete, both the dimensions have to be satisfied. Both have to be fulfilled, satisfied. Both have to be, you have to take care of both. You didn't take care of the both, then you haven't completed the job. You give a person 2 kicks, slap him, and give him 10 rands. Will he be happy? You took care of the external, but you disregarded the internal. Now he's hurt, his heart is hurt. Or you didn't swear, you didn't kick him, but you saw him. And then you gave him 100 rands, 500 rands. Will he be happy? So that means man has got an external and he's got an internal. And both has to be satisfied to bring about completion and perfection. You only did the external and you disregarded the internal, so the person is not happy, not fully pleased. Or right, he's pleased for the external, but he's not pleased for the internal. So there is a thing like the internal self. And the internal self, in most cases, is more important than just the external. There was the owner of the motor car, Ford, right? So in those years, like talking about the 40s, 50s, 60s, I think in every minute there was a car coming out from his factory. So the external was excellent, right? Excellent. But the internal was such that he couldn't eat anything. Just some soup, you know, a little bit of soup, no bread, absolutely nothing he can eat. But the external was covered so well that a car is coming out from his factory every minute. And the only thing that he could eat is some soup. That's all. So I ask you, can this person be happy? But you, see, you don't have even 1/1,000,000th of what he's got, but are you prepared to swap his life with your life? My one friend was here, so he heard about one cancer patient, and the doctor told him, you know what, you must have all this beetroot and apple and all that, and liquidize it, and that's going to be your food. So I want to see that man, and what's going to be his response. See, I'd rather be dead. I can't take this thing. I want my steak, I want my chops, I want all that I want. So, you see, if there's an external in you, there's an internal dimension. And both have to be satisfied to bring about happiness, fulfillment, completion. Just got one, that it doesn't complete. Not complete. Your heart has to be feeling absolutely happy, satisfied. Now it's perfect, it's complete. Otherwise, you always feel a hollow within you. You don't find that easiness. The mind is uneasy. The heart is uneasy. You don't feel comfort. Right? Going to sleep in a very, very luxurious home, but the sleep is not coming because you're feeling feelings of anxiety, uneasiness, worry. So you don't feel that. So that means one has been ten. You took care of one, and the other you haven't taken care of. There's a simple example to understand this, you know, easiness and the inner self, the inner dimension, and how much it must be taken care of. Imagine if you were a custom-made Boeing jet, right? Custom-made for your specifications, bedroom, bath, everything, every type of attendant, with a passport for any part of the world, any type of place you want to visit, and for 1 year, anywhere, any type of holiday, any type of pleasure resort, any type of woman, any type of food, everything. They will lay it out for you, whatever you want. Everything, all that the world has got to offer everything. But you see, after 1 year, you will be sentenced to life. Westville prison, sentenced to life. Right? No bail and no person's intercession will be accepted. Absolutely nothing accepted. I ask you, will that person be happy? So you understand that if there is an external, there is an internal. The mind is not easy. What you're seeing here is excellent, right? But the mind is uneasy. An animal, for it, that external is not a serious thing. Do you see Bakri time? One sheep is being slaughtered and the other one is grazing around. It doesn't realize in two hours' time that it's going to be pulled and made to lay. And even if it watches what happened to his brother, in 2 days' time, one day, it's normal. Normally grazing, going about, absolutely normal. So it doesn't have that type of internal like a human being. Human being is different. He needs, if it happened to his brother, it'll create trauma for him. He won't be able to eat, he won't be able to see. He saw that happening. It's traumatic, too much for him, he can't handle it. So you got an internal and you got an external, and both have to be satisfied. So now to be able to get the internal right, internal, is to be able to create a visibility. See, the external, you created a visibility and you got satisfaction, you got fulfillment. So for the internal, you want satisfaction. Satisfaction will come with visibility. You can see things in perspective. You can see things correctly. So for that, you need to have visibility. But for that visibility, again, you need to have two lights to merge. The merging of the two lights will create the inner dimension, inner light. So one is the light of the heart. The heart must not be engulfed in darkness. The heart mustn't be drowned in darkness, darkness of sin, wrong, transgression. It mustn't be drowned. Right? It must be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So now you've created the light in the inner self. Right? But just the light of the inner self will not create full visibility, half visibility you've got. Because the heart is not drowned in wrong, not in sin, not in disobedience. Right? If it's drowned in disobedience, then it's totally blind, can't see. If it's drowned in disobedience, in wrong, there's no visibility. So it's doing wrong, but it feels immune to the wrong. There's no sensitivity. Don't you see, the one that is doing haram, he doesn't feel wrong. Does he feel that he's doing wrong? Or that he's drinking wine, right? Does he feel that he's doing wrong? No. He doesn't feel that. You see him offering it to his friend or someone, cheers, photos are going on, right? So he doesn't feel wrong about it. Person is dating with his fiancée, right? He doesn't feel that this is haram. Doesn't feel it's haram. So he boasts about it. This is my fiancée, is photoing her. So he doesn't have the concept of haram. So that means the light of the inner self is dead. There's no light inside. It's extinguished. Switched off, can't see. He's doing the haram, but he can't see it. Person that is in the bank, right, night and day, is working in interest. Right? So, does he feel the wrong of being in the bank? Rather, he'll say, no, I'm the manager of F&B. F&B is not supposed to be in the masjid there. Right? I'm the manager. He's the manager of F&B. So, he's heart is dead, he's immune to that. The interest to the haram, he's totally immune, he's dead. So the one requirement is that the heart must also be alive. There must be visibility in the heart. And for the visibility in the heart, what is required is the heart mustn't be drowned in wrong. If it's going to be drowned in wrong, it can't see, like this person can't see. Person is in the bank, he can't see it. The person is drinking wine, he can't see. He's dating and mating, whatever, and he can't see it. So that is part of the visibility, right? Half. And the other half of the visibility is the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Right? He's got the light of the heart, right? But he doesn't have the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Like you'll find in a lot of his Eastern countries, people practice spiritual arts, right? For relaxation of the mind, or the yogism, or whatever they do, all that, right? For the calmness. And for that, they have to deny themselves a lot of pleasures, all the pleasures they must deny. Woman, wine, all that they must deny themselves. So they abstain from haram. So they abstain from haram, but in spite of them abstaining from haram, they don't have the visibility. They are abstaining from haram. Why? It's because they got the half, they don't have the Quran and the Hadith. That Quran and the Hadith, it creates the light. When it merges with the inner light, the inner and the external, then you have visibility. But they're just training the spiritual self without the Quran, without the Hadith. When they're training the inner self without the Quran and Hadith, can there be any visibility? Can't be any visibility. Some years ago, there was a Jewish professor, he came here, accepted Islam. Americans, we came here. So I asked him, like it would be normal, someone accepts Islam, we ask him, what inspired you? So he says, around the early 60s, American life was becoming very, very stressful. We were very, very uneasy. We had wealth, everything we had, but anxiety, uneasiness, that had the better of us. So we were looking for something, some solution. And just then this yogism just came in. So we went for it. A lot of youth, a lot of the American went for it. And they found some satisfaction. So they found that satisfaction, the ease they found. But then afterwards we realized, they say, it's got a satisfaction, but there's no direction in it. The number of satisfaction you got, finding an ease. But there's no direction. Man wants a direction in his life. He wants a direction. Where am I going to? It's a journey. Where am I ending up? I was in Hawick, So one person tells me that his old German friend, he saw him. So he said, how are you, Brian? So Brian said, hey, I'm not Brian now. I'm no longer Brian, now I'm Ibrahim. Don't call me Brian now. So then he asked him, all right, what inspired you? What led you to Islam? So he says, as a youngster, all my accomplices and friends were all Muslims. So we did everything, all womanizing, everything we did, right? But then as we came to about 35, 40, 45, then I saw these Muslim friends of mine, they were all taking a turn. Now they became conscious, they became to the masjid, now they're womanizing, all that they left, and whatever, they were experimenting with alcohol, left all that. Now they took a U-turn. They became more conscious. Right? Now I realized, when I saw that, I realized that there is another meaning to life than what meets the eye. Because here in Hawick, we've got one of the world's best old age homes, right? So when you become redundant, human being becomes redundant, they just park them off there. Like how you have this, what they call it, used cars, where they crash and all that. Scrapyard, yeah. That's a human scrapyard. But just that it's a more glossy human scrapyard. You scrap now, they push you there. It's about the world's best scrapyard. Right? So all the wealthiest of whites, they come there and they leave the scrap vehicles. Now they leave them there, waiting for them to finish off their lives. And in that last phase of their life, there's nothing good about them. They're still talking to women and whatever they can do at that time. Then there's nothing in them. There was 75, 80, what they got left now. interfering or a little bit looking at something, touching and all that. That's all they can do. But as they are progressing in their lives, they're becoming even more immodest and immoral. You can see now at that age, now 75, 80, 85, and man's supposed to be coming a little bit modest, a little bit fine-tuned, you know, supposed to be more disciplined, more righteous. But there's no righteousness in them, absolutely the same. They'll drink, they'll be womanizing, they lost their, now at that age, sometimes one spouse is dying. But they're dressing up anyhow, they're behaving anyway, conduct is no more better. So when I saw their life, I saw there's no end to this life here. There's no meaning to this life. That means this journey has got no end. But when I saw these youngsters that grew up with me, now when I saw them taking a U-turn, the whole life is changing, now they're more afraid, they're more cautious, they're more careful about their dealings, about their namaz, about akhirat, about tabligh jamaat. They're going out. Yes, no, there's a different meaning. As they're aging, they know that they are going to another phase of their lives. There's a meaning to life. There's a thing like akhirat. There's a thing like hereafter. So I said, this must be right. And this is the thing that just drew me to Islam. See? So that non-Muslim, he doesn't have that. There's no concept of hereafter. See today's article that they read, Ibrahim Sahib read today. 11 things, right? To fortune and misfortune, 11 things. But as the Shaykh Ramadan Rahman writes at the end, that I feel that that last point is about the most pertinent, what to think about death. So, why is that the most pertinent? Just think to yourself, why is that the most pertinent? It's most pertinent, imagine you're playing football, right? Playing football. And you don't have a goal post. You're just kicking the ball. Is there any direction in your game? Is there any direction? Just kicking, showing a little bit of stunts and all that. Is there any direction? Now, if there's a goal post, right? Now, there is a direction in your game. All working towards a common goal post. There's a direction. But if there's no goal post at all, there's no direction, then aimless, you're just running around, just kicking, just aiming. So now that's the life of a person who doesn't believe in the hereafter. He's running around here, there are a lot of things he's doing. لَا يَهُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَعُمْ قَلِيلٌ. This kuffar, they're running around. Oh, he's jetting here, he's coming here, he's landing this side. Oh, this person is coming, this head of state is coming here, and he's going to meet up with her. And they're going to be at this place here. That's going to be the reception. 21 gun salute. They're going to be, you know, that. So, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي بِلَادِ. They're running around. They're moving around, struttering around, flying and jetting and all that. That mustn't deceive you. You see all this action and then many people get deceived. They see, hey, what is this? What's going on? See the splendor, you know, how majestic it looks, you know. مَتَعُنْ قَلِيلٌ. It's just a little bit of enjoyment, little that catches the eye. But there's no substance in it. You know this German, what he's saying. I saw this and inspected it very well. See, people are just scrapped up now, yeah? Going to the scrapyard finish. That's the end of their lives. So there's no end, there's no meaning to their lives. And here I'm seeing that their lives is meaningful. As they're coming up now, they did all the maja, all the haram and all they did. Now they understand that there's another meaning to, there's another end to life. Right? There's another dimension to life. When they realize that there was another dimension to life, so they took a turn around. The whole thing turned around. Now they're not shameless, they're careful about their tongue, about the dealings, about the timings. They're careful about all the obligations and the duties. So I understood exactly now that there is another end to, there's another meaning to life. So for the spiritual eye to be open, to create that spiritual visibility, you need the eye of the heart and the eye, the light of the heart and the light of the Quran and the light of the Hadith. And I was telling you just now, that this Jewish person is telling me, hey, we got that peace, but there's no direction now. Where is it leading to? Because man's mind works like that. I'm going now, where am I going to? All right, the smooth drive. It's a comfortable, relaxing mind, relaxing drive. But where am I going to? I need to know the direction. Where am I going to? That's how the man's life works. An animal's life works, its mind works different because it's been created for a different purpose. And a man's mind works different. Right? You will find a cow, see if you're driving, right? You're going through farms, right? Now you'll find that that cow you left in the morning and you return on the same road towards the evening. That thing is one posture, is just eating the grass one way. One posture. So Allah made it for one purpose, to become fat, either to provide milk or to provide meat. That's what it made for. So that thing's goal is I must become fat, provide meat or milk. And that thing is carrying on. For the work that Allah has created it, it's carrying on until it drops dead. Right? Carries on. But now, a man and an animal, are they the same? If they were the same, then you mustn't feel insulted if someone calls you an animal. You feel insulted. Don't you feel insulted? You feel you are higher than an animal. Don't you feel that? So he says that we experiment this thing and we found that there was some pleasure and some peace, but there's no direction. Then we looked for direction. We looked a lot of places, Buddhism and all that. Eventually, we found that the only place, the only thing that has got direction is Islam. It's got a code of law. It's got a thing like Akhirat. Once I was going past this road here. So one person came with this brand new Mercedes. Abruptly, he just stopped. Why, just sit down. Now, I knew the old man. So out of respect for him, if he's dead, Allah forgive him. Give him Jannat. His life, or barakat in his life. So he came. Abruptly, he stopped. Sit down. So I knew him now, old man, a little bit temperamental now. I didn't want to start off a fight with him. Oh, no, how are you going to fight with him as well? So I sat down. He says, hey, Mullah, you know, this Mullah is giving talks in the masjid. I'm not on with that talks, man. Don't really talk about Qabr and Azab. Death, you're going to catch it, fire, Jahannam and all that. Now, the more dangerous statement he made was, you know, look at Christianity. Look at Christianity. The evangelist, right? And how they advertise for their religion. Put death into the laps of Christ. Now he's telling me, he sees all this in the television. He says to me, I was surprised, very intelligent person he was. But he says to me, had I been a youngster, I would have been a Christian. But now I'm old now, past the sell-by date. So there's no question about me going to Christianity. But had I been a youngster, I would have been a Christian. See how nicely they market their thing. So for that moment, I couldn't tell him anything because I could see now he's revved, right? He's very high in his emotions. Then I found him in another place that is cool and relaxed. So I got to explain to him. It's just general, there were a couple of people there. So they asked me to say something, so let's explain. Now, these people, they understand more with Nazair than Dalail. If you only understand their mind, then you'll know how to work with them. So their minds work with Nazair. With Dalail, it doesn't work. Proofs and examples, their minds will work. So let's see, if you're driving on the highway, right? And someone tells you, hey, you can drive at the speed that you want. You just go through every police here and they'll just give you chocolates. You can, at any speed you want. They're so kind. They'll take you in their laps and all that. Right? And the other one tells you, these police here, they don't listen to any nonsense. No nonsense. One misdemeanor, one mistake you made, 20,000 rand fine. And it will be your luck that you don't get into jail. The 20,000 rand plus they put you into jail. Then you have to appear in court after 4 days. They don't want to hear anything. He's telling you to sit on the lap of the warden. Right? 20,000 rand. Sit there for 4 days. Then you come to court. Then you don't know what's going to happen, what's the proceedings. So then you are driving now, and you got a ticket. When you got a ticket, are you going to swear the person that warned you, or are you going to swear the person that was telling you, what a pleasant ride it was, you know, beautiful ride. Who are you going to swear? You're going to swear this first person, that he misled me. The second person, you know, that person was telling the right. He warned me about this. I brought this problem to myself. So when the Quran and the Hadith tells you about azab, qabr, etc., all are realities. You heard it once, you hear it again, hear it for the third time. At one point, it must strike your heart. You kept listening to it. Then it struck your heart. Right? Then now it opened your eyes. What it once wasn't sufficient. See this, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ, that which destroys all pleasures. Think about the thing. It brings you onto line. Like I say, when there's a common goal, then you're working towards it. Thing like akhirat, jannah, jahannam, there's a goal. So you can work towards it. But there is no goal. But you eat, drink, enjoy. So what's the difference between you and animal? Eat, drink, enjoy, and carry on your life. There's no difference. But if there's a goal you are working towards, then there's a meaning to your life. There's a direction to your life. When there's a goal, there's a direction to your life. And the direction is the akhirat. Without the akhirat, then this life, the whole life is meaningless. There's no meaning to this life. So the more a person is conscious about the akhirat, the more he's got a direction, the more meaningful his life becomes. The more his life becomes satisfactory. He's got a satisfaction, enjoyment, because there is the thought of the akhirat. I have to die. I have to leave my near and dear. I have to sit in the grave. I'll be all alone, in all total isolation. What's going to happen to me there? So the more he's going to be focused to that, then everything will fall in place. And the more he's neglectful of that, there will be anything that will be in place in his life. He's running after one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. There's no meaning, no direction. That's why now, those that have left the akhirat, there's no meaning. Someone took about 55 million gods and still not satisfied. Really, they got about 55 million gods. Sun called, one god, running, chasing after one, second thing and the third thing. So you're not going to get into anything. And you got one Allah Ta'ala, one akhirat, one direction. So there's a meaning to your life. There's an end to your life. You have a direction in your life. So this direction can only come with this inner light. And that inner light has to have the heart and the Quran and the Hadith. The light of the Quran and the light of the Quran and the heart. Both merges, then you got visibility. Now see, now you got a clear picture. Akhirat is a fact. And have to go. What preparations have I made? What intizam have I made? I can see people leaving before me. At all ages, any age, someone is leaving today, someone is leaving tomorrow, they're severe. Aaj nahi to kal se, not today and tomorrow. You're seeing someone is leaving. And nobody got the guarantee. That visa is such that nobody got guarantee. It's going to be 3 months, 5 months, or 30 years, or 60 years. Nobody knows. So what is the level of my, what should be the level of my preparation? There's absolutely no guarantee. So now, when man has got that in his mind, fixed in his mind, now he's created visibility. But the visibility will be in, to the extent of how much he thinks about it, how much certain he's about it. To the level of certainty, there'll be visibility. And when there's going to be visibility, then he can't fall into haram. Then he won't go into women, do all haram things. Live alone haram things, he won't waste his time. Because you know there's a visibility. Imagine, just imagine for a moment, last example I give you, for you to understand this concept of visibility, right? You are participating in a marathon from Maritzburg to Durban, right? The winning post is Durban. Right? So that's the race. So one is haram, you know, like I told about haram, you know. Even those things that are distracting, you're not going to be after them. You're coming from the race, you know, if you come in right time, you've got the stamina, you've got the strength, you can make it, right? If you come in right time, they're going to give you so many gold medals, so many millions, right? So much of popularity, so much of names, so many papers are going to carry your name. Television, everything is going to carry your name, right? So that's what you're going to get. Now, on the road, they'll have two things. One is they'll have something for you to just replenish yourself. Some water, some sugars, all that. Right? But on the same road from Maritzburg to Durban, there's some cricket carrying on here, cricket match carrying on here. One monkey performer is that side, there was circus this side, it's a lion park on that side. Now, if you turned away into the lion park to go and see the lions, you know, so the lions also is the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala, must go and see it, you know. And this cricket also, you know, where will I get a chance to see Hashim Amla and all that, you know? That also I must go and see that, Muslim, see what he did. I must go and see that. So, will you count that person to be in the race? Will you count that person to be in the race? He's saying, no, the lion is the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Hashim Amla is a Muslim, you know, to see, I'm going to see Islam, how great it is, you know. But will you call that person a participant in the race? He's wasting time. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's getting distracted. He doesn't know what that goal and what it's going to bring to him. He doesn't understand that. So therefore, he got distracted. Had he known the goal and had he been focused to the goal, then these things wouldn't have distracted him. He's getting distracted. Why? Because he's not focused on the goal. See? So the one that is focused on the goal of the hereafter, akhirat, then he's not distracted by all the sideshows. Go here, Disneyland, and here, wherever. You know, avoid all these things, the sideshows. But I need to get here in good shape and good time. My akhirat is coming. I need to be there in good time, in good shape, in a good way. He knows what is awaiting him. So, let alone the haram, even these things that may be permissible but will distract him from his cause, he's not going to get himself messed up. See, this thing is just going to distract me. I'm going to waste 10 hours here, 5 hours, I may just lose out on the race. I may come out, say, on the 700, after 1,000 I may come. I'll be a disgrace and embarrassment. I did so much of training that I went to a lousy lion park that side, one lousy cricket match this side here, and I lost out. What I could have got? It's going to be such a remorseful thing. Because you know that distraction, what destruction it brings. See, distraction and destruction. How it brings them. So let alone the haram, even those things that distract, you are not going to get yourself involved. So the focus of the hereafter, the more you focus on the hereafter, the greater will be, the stronger will be the light. And as the light is stronger, then that will create greater visibility. And when there's greater visibility, there's more great drive in you, going now, moving. And when there's a drive in you, inshallah, will come in good time, in a good shape, in a good way. You are happy with Allah Pak, Allah Pak is happy with you. You didn't waste your time, you didn't waste your energy, you didn't waste your wealth, you used it all rightly, correctly. So we are pleased with you, and you are pleased with us. Allah Pak, Tawfiq.